We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Wake that ass up
early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Yep. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Just Hilarious, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Yes, indeed.
We got Lil Rel.
What up?
Welcome back. How you feeling, man?
I'm good. I'm good. This is the last of my little press run, so I can't wait to go home.
You look very
damn
very slim and trim, Rel.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. I'm proud of me. This is consistency.
Ozempic or working out?
I knew you was gonna say that. Because, you know, I'm like sad about that.
Ozempic?
Yeah, because people, there's other stars that actually walked up to me and like have said that to me because they're doing it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yo, y'all really doing that to yourself?
But his not head don't diabetic. Look big, though. His head don't look big. Pause.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could tell when people either had surgery or did something crazy. Everything is very real. This is what consistency looked like mentally and physically.
Mm-hmm. What made you get there? Just because you be in front of the camera so much, or was it your own personal thing?
A lot of stuff, because I stopped drinking and everything. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I just wanted to experience this second half of my life and, like, really be present. Mm-hmm. And so I just been very focused. And I'm happy, you know what I mean? Like, I'm in a happy relationship. I'm, like, loving this next part of the game for me. I'm about to direct my first feature and stuff. So I'm really excited, yeah.
Did you realize, like, I guess the alcohol was more of a coping mechanism that you didn't realize?
It was almost not even just coping. It was like, I almost started just doing it just because. Mm-hmm. I think one day I was out and I'm like, am I just doing this because of the access to it? Because I didn't even really want to drink one day. And I'm like, it's just free.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then I'm like, man, I go to these premieres and stuff. And sometimes I don't even remember what the experience is because I'm lit. Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted to change all that.
Well, you look good, brother.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Talk to us about We Grown Now, this movie.
Thank you. Because, you know, sometimes people don't have nothing to promote. So if you see me, I'm promoting something.
Right.
People like, I just want to talk.
I thought you just came up with a crest off the comedian.
Yeah. No. We Grown Now is a beautiful, beautiful movie. And I'm not even just saying it. Like, this is one of my favorite movies I've done. I mean, I've loved a lot of the stuff I've done, but since Get Out, this one has been like the most powerful one I've done in a long time. and the two young men that starred in this movie are amazing. It's a love letter to the Cabrini-Green residents and just to Chicago in general. And like it humanizes all those families, not just in Cabrini-Green, but just projects in general all over the country. Because you know how they make people, you know, look into projects over the years, mm-hmm. you know. And so, man, this movie does a good job of just showing how beautiful community and family is. It's really dope.
So it was shot in Chicago.
It was shot in Chicago, yep.
And I love that you're from Chicago too. So did you get any of that nostalgia? Like, just like.
Yeah, I remember 1992 when I was like, because that's where the movie takes place. You was born in 92?
Yeah, man.
You like, old, yeah, man. Like, yeah, I'm old. Like, why you feel bad, right?
Okay. So you was born in 92?
The second Bulls championship. That's when you was here. yeah, it was interesting. Because even I've been going to all the screenings, and I'm still watching it. And mm-hmm. it's like, I can remember when Dontrell Davis got killed. That's when Chicago got real. And we started seeing a lot more of those young people get murdered from the stray bullets and the mm-hmm. gang violence. Mm-hmm. And I remember that kind of being the first summer for me. Well, my parents had to be like, "Hey, you can't go here no more. You have to be careful because." And we had to grow up way too fast just because of that.
What made you stay away from all that growing
my
up?
My dad, you know what I mean? Like me having a father. Like my dad was like one of. It was only maybe like two dads in our neighborhood.
Wow.
And when everybody started, and this is real talk, and that's why mm-hmm. like watching this movie is kind of like eerie a little bit because. Mm-hmm. You can remember like when all of us went from being kids to like everybody started to kind of join gangs and stuff. And we didn't do that because of my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And it was tough because you lost, like when you see this movie, it's about friendship.
Mm-hmm.
But I can remember, damn, that was the last time we was just like kids. And then it got real for everybody.
Mm-hmm. You lose friends, you lose family members.
It's crazy looking at 92 and we're in 2024. And you remember like even that year, it was like, stop the violence. And it was very, mm-hmm. and nothing change. It actually got worse. And that's scary. Like, even yeah. when you think about, I think about the kids and young people I went to school with that's mm-hmm. not here no more
mm-hmm.
because of choices we all made, maybe around that time, to be quite honest with you.
What's the biggest misconception about Chicago, in particular, like those hood and those projects?
I just think we forget that it's families in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even in the movie, they play a clip from an old news story. Mayor Daley's talking about Cabrini-Green, and they're talking about it like it's a war zone. As if it's not people living in those, you know, those projects.
Mm-hmm.
And then you forget how messed up the Chicago Housing Authority was. Like, they the ones that dropped the ball. Like, they wasn't fixing stuff. Because when the projects first was built, and it's actually about to be a National Housing Authority Museum, my family is one of the feature families because they was in the Jane Addams Projects. I actually just did the voiceover for, like, when you go to their apartment, they redid it.
Mm-hmm.
My mom grew up with her sisters and her brother. And, you know, I'm doing the voiceover. So you walk in, it's like, hey, me describe it. It was very emotional doing too. But it was, they came in there with hope to live in the project. The projects were new. It was a project.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which is supposed to be something that is a project that we hope works.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think we forget that is that was. And then at some point, especially when it just became majority, you know, black families in there, they stopped caring. They didn't fix anything. Like even it's a scene in the movie where they're getting on the elevators and it's just broke.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, there's people now who still live in the projects. New York still got their projects up.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those elevators still don't work.
Yeah, mad people mm-hmm. die in those elevators.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fall down the shafts.
Yep. Yeah.
I was going to ask, you know, Jesus. Growing up, even though it was the projects, even though it was the hood, it made you who you were, right? It made you be able to see things a lot different than a lot of other people would.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with you having kids, of course, they're not going to have that lifestyle, but not necessarily the project and the hood lifestyle, but the being able to see everything. Does that concern you at all?
No, you know what's funny? I watch y'all all the time, and I saw Aries on here, and he was talking about like Jordan Peele and those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting that like when you hear like cats be like, oh yeah, I could tell they not from the hood, whatever. But like our kids now, nothing like that.
That's right.
And so I hopefully we get away from just like what we say what black is.
Mm-hmm.
Because to be honest with you, even if they grew up in the valley, I live in the valley now. And I could say this on here, I guess, but like my career recently got broken into like twice.
Jesus.
Yeah.
And it's crazy for me because I'm like, man, the hood, nobody broke in nobody's house. They broke in your car.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe took a bike from the back, but nobody came in your crib.
Mm.
And like being, you think things are better because you're in this nicer area and you got the gates up and all that. And I'm like, no, that's burglary.
More of a target.
And I reacted differently. I'm from the west side of Chicago. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you still call the police, but like, I turned into like a ninja. Like, I'm like, come while I'm here. You know what I mean? Like, we gonna fight to the death. Because it's just something about somebody coming in your space. It's a different, and it blew my mind because I'm like, damn, that's so disrespectful. Mm-hmm. Like, even though the hood was the hood, you just if somebody broke in somebody's house, everybody knew it and we all jumped on them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, somebody woke somebody up. You done just broke in the house, get up. And everybody came out there like, let's whoop their ass. Did you break into somebody's house?
Did you catch who broke into your house in the valley?
That's a thing they're doing.
It's a ring, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And even when you look at the footage, which is why, like, once again, you know, son of a hood, but it's like, I'm not nervous. I'm more or less irritated by it.
Yeah.
Because I'm seeing how they move, right?
Why does it happen so much in California?
Y'all should just leave stuff out for them, man.
I did this time, I guess. Took the watches and stuff.
Damn.
But you know, it's interesting because it's like, it feel like they only doing it to the black celebrity.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm like, man, it is some white people. I know they got loan money. I just got here. I just got this place. Yeah. I ain't even got nothing. I got all big stuff. You can't run out of here with that stuff. Mm-hmm. And so like, it was just, I'm like, I was weird. Cause it's like old white people. I know got like safes and jewels.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, brother, I just got out here.
Yeah,
you want to leave a note? Yeah, look, I just got here.
Damn.
I got some waters in the refrigerator. You just
Where were you when they did it? Were you away?
I was at a screening. Yeah,
so they knew you were gonna be gone.
I guess, man. I've been trying to, you know, it's trying to figure out what, because this once again the second time. The first time they did it,
same house,
same career.
Jesus,
and it's been in a 4 month span. And the first time they got in because I left the balcony up, but I got like. And, you know, everything's gated off, so I didn't think, like, you got to be. But then I look at the footage and watch these young dudes climb over a gate, and I'm like, damn. Mm-hmm. But the second time they broke the window in one of my rooms.
And they always say with the police in California, it takes them a long time to get to a
problem. Let me tell you what's funny, and I'll give a damn what they think. It was like 50 cops that showed up. And they couldn't catch this one. They flashed a light in the house. He was coming down the stairs.
Oh, so they caught him in the house.
They didn't catch him.
Oh, well,
I don't know how. It's 50 of y'all.
Yeah. What?
And you don't catch this dude. And then they had a meeting afterwards. Because I was still at the screening for We Grown Now.
So did they see him run out or nothing?
They saw. They flashed a light. He ran out the glass he broke. Mm-hmm. He went back into the media room, ran out. And I got like a big yard and stuff. But like, y'all got a helicopter. So I'm like, so ain't nobody see him.
Mm. These are professional.
Yeah. No, they not.
50 cops?
Because I know somebody who got their house broken into, and they said the person came off the roof. They said they literally heard the thump, and they looked, and the person was just on the balcony, so they had to jump off
when
the
you
roof.
Look at the footage, I'm going to tell you something. The pants are sagging.
It's
like, fam, come on, man.
Okay, all right.
You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying I want to be home. That's what I'm saying. I looked at this stuff, and like, the first time they only took some Jordans. Just because my assistant showed up right away. Because we, you know, I didn't know anybody. I just know my alarm was going off. Yeah. I just told her to go check at the house. And, you know, your hood spidey senses go off because she came in, the refrigerator was open. It wasn't beeping. I was like, why the refrigerator not beeping? If I left it open,
food?
No, because they was using it for the light.
Oh.
And they was in there hiding. And so I told her to get out the house. Like, yo, you got to leave the house because they're still in there.
So hold on. When the police asked you to describe the person.
I didn't look at all this stuff till I looked at my own footage and I looked at the cameras and stuff. But it was what they saw when they flashed the light in there. It had an all black, the mask. He was moving kind of fast.
Pants sagging,
and a book bag.
Damn. I wanted to ask you about go back to the Jordan Peele thing, because that was an interesting thing that Aries brought up. What is black? And in Hollywood, what is considered black comedy?
That's interesting. I mean, you know, I don't even know how to define what's black. Like, cause I think now we just want to be human, everybody.
Yeah.
We only what they tell us we are, to be quite honest with you. Cause everything's different now, which is why, like, even with, like, you know, I love what Aries did, cause he held himself accountable for like mistakes he's made.
Mm-hmm.
And for right now, a lot of people don't admit to that. Everybody just want to, like, if they don't have certain stuff, they're like, well, you did something different because it ain't happened for me, so that means you did this.
Yeah, you sucked the dick.
You know what's interesting? Let me say this real quick. I just want to have a meeting. I want to have a town hall with all the black comics. We come in one place, no audience there. Whatever you got to say about anybody, ask the question in their face. Whatever you want to say, Ricky, Cat, Eric, would y'all just all sit down and talk?
I'd rather go to the Cabrini Green Projects and I'd probably say
we have to make some. I think we just got to figure out what the rules are now, like, because it's just weird at this point, you know, because everybody keeps, they just throwing out stuff now.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, we still, you know, I think the argument about wearing it, you know, oh, you wore a dress and that means this and that, and it's like, wait, so what? Eddie and Martin, if you looked up to Eddie and Martin and you just saw them doing character work, or you watched In Living Color and you saw them doing character work, right, or if David's playing Maya Angelou or something, that's character work to me. So if you look up to people doing characters, why you, I just don't understand this narrative of like, that's what they made you do this and do this and do that. I'm like, but I wrote the sketch and I did a stand-up routine based on that. Like, I think one of my characters, I did my hood rat character. That was one of my hit jokes when I first started. Mm-hmm. So when I decided to write sketches, that was one of the characters I played. I just think, like, if you're going to, like, show somebody doing one thing, show all the characters.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I did, like, a million. I probably should play more old men. Maybe that's what we should say. People that play old black men, that's how you make it.
Because with Jordan Peele, is interesting because, okay, Key and Peele might not have been your thing, but you can't act like his movies haven't been some of the dopest black films.
But you Get saw that in Key and Peele, though. That's what's so weird. Yeah. It's some really beautifully black written sketches on there. Mm-hmm. I just think because, and you can't, you know, I think, like, Aries is one of the most interesting people. That's why I said I love that he held himself accountable, because, like, you was on Mad TV. Mm-hmm. You did a lot of the mainstream stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I guess when that stopped, because everybody pick and choose when they want to be a hood nigga. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, like, all of us that's really, I'm from the west side of Chicago, so I don't need to act like that. Mm-hmm. Or try to act hood now that I'm in a certain position. But it's because athletes do it all the time. Like, niggas that went to school the whole time and then they get a little money, now they want to act like a dope dealer. Mm-hmm. It's so fucking stupid. It's so stupid.
It is.
You went to class every day. I saw you with your book bag. Now that you were the NFL, you got 15 chains on, you got a crazy crew now. Come on, bro.
A lot of that could be the Iverson effect too, though. Because Iverson was just so cool being him that people wanted to be Allen Iverson.
But that was Iverson 24/7.
That's what I'm saying. That's who he was.
That was Iverson. But people wanted to be him, so they was imitating him. Yeah. That's what
But you know what's funny? The people that really come from that, you know, they try to grow out of that. They actually try to stay away from that.
Yeah.
I was talking about, I was talking about fiance Dadella, and she laughed because I was like, one of my favorite drug dealers. She's like, wait, what did you say? Because I was thinking about this drug dealer grew up. That, you know, everybody, I looked up to my dad and my uncles, but it was one dope dealer in my neighborhood who I thought was the coolest dude in the world. Like, that's why I like to wear the jogging suits with the chain. It's because of him.
All right.
But then I saw him graduate. I remember, like, I was working in downtown Chicago and I saw him with a suit on. I'm like, damn, what? You know, he's like, nah, I'm done. I cashed out.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Open a real estate business.
That's right.
And I was like, wow. But I'm just saying, like, it's those guys that really live that life don't necessarily celebrate it.
Mm-hmm. Is there a difference between being, we know there's a difference, but what is the difference between being black famous and white famous? Because I feel like you've experienced both.
Well, not really. I mean, I say the difference is if you white famous, you could just do what you want, even if you're just a white comedian. Mm-hmm. I was telling somebody, I saw a clip of Will Ferrell doing Beyonce, like literally doing what? I'm just thinking, like, you're crawling. Yeah. And ain't nobody going like, see, he's sold. You see what he doing? Because he acting like a woman. That's why.
That's
like,
how you got on the movie.
They don't ever say that. They don't bring up Mrs. Doubtfire. They don't do none of that stuff. They just do what the hell they want to. Mm-hmm. They can just act at anything they want to. And I feel bad for black actors and artists because you almost have to be careful because you just don't want somebody saying, oh, that's why you did that and did this. And I'm like, damn. But white actors, you know, you could just do whatever you want to. They free.
Yeah. They don't judge each other either.
They don't, like, come at each other. They're not talking down on each other, you know.
Well, not in person. A lot of them don't like each other, but they're not, like, doing.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Yeah. They don't, like, go and sit on podcasts or interviews just to say, oh, this person did this back in the day or whatever, things like that. We had, what's his name, Bill Burr up here.
I love Bill Burr.
Yeah, I love him too. And I wanted to get into comedy or whatever because I'm finished talking about that. Bill Burr, he was up here and he was saying, you know, he used to bomb, like, all the time. And that shocked me. That shocked me because I love him. He's one of my favorite, like, people to watch, like, on, like, Netflix or whatever. So he said he used to bomb all the time. Was that, did you ever?
Everybody. I mean,
Don't say everybody, yo, because not me.
Well, Jess, you ain't, you, You know, this is interesting. I can say,
shit, Jeff. Boy,
and it's not, it's not a, it's,
said, but Jeff, you not, it's not a, she not what, Ralph?
Well, here we go.
That's not what he, just let him say it. Well, damn.
Think about it, Ralph.
It's not a bad thing because it goes back to this point I've been making a lot lately. It's like, I grinded the way I did so you wouldn't have to do a lot of the same stuff I had to do. We had to do those chitlin circuit holding the wall spots.
Absolutely.
With the game still being on. And you're going to bum because they don't care that you're doing a comedy show. They came in there to watch the Bulls game. And we happen to be doing a comedy show. Or, I mean, this stuff like where it's literally holding the wall crazy spots. You've been able to kind of walk into this where it's like, yo, you got your audience already. You know, you already have a fan base. When nobody knows who you are and you starting. Like, the person in it don't know who you is.
Mm.
That's the toughest thing in the world to make those people laugh.
Yeah.
And it's a different grind. So you don't, I believe, like, I look at, like, somebody like me and other comics that's, you know, came up with me, like, that's one of the doors we open. And I mean, which is to my point also, when people are saying like, hey, I hate that the veteran comics that talk shit about our group and people under them about what they think they've done. And I'm like, well, your nose and the stuff you went through made it easier for me.
That's right.
Why you don't take that credit?
Yeah.
And so for you, yeah, you don't have to experience that because you don't have to do the same extremely tough rooms.
But
it was rooms that other comedians made hard on purpose.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't do well. Those don't even exist no more for real.
Like what, that's like the chocolate sundaes and all that type
of thing? You remember Lil Duval, that Atlanta room?
Oh, the shit show. The shit show, was it? Oh, no, not the shit show.
No, that's not what it was called.
Oh, man.
Man, but you kill yourself. Jack, what's his name?
Jack Thriller.
Thriller was it with the mirror?
Tripping on Tuesdays.
It wasn't Tripping on Tuesdays. I forgot what it was called, but it was one of the hardest rooms in Atlanta, in the country. T.I. was there every week.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you killed in there, I remember my shirt, I was sweating profusely, but I worked so hard to get them laughs. I'm like, but I ain't get booed off. You don't even know if you did good. As long as they ain't boo you off, you was happy. And they made that room tough on purpose.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They'll make your intro weird. All types of stuff. Yeah. And so, but guess what? Those rooms existed all across the country, and it made you a better comic. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, those things don't exist like that no more. So it's not. But knock on wood about not bumming. Don't say that.
Yeah, no, I feel you. But no, I still know. But I'm saying those are the things that I want to do.
I'm gonna tell you something, Jess. Put the challenge up. Do this for yourself. Book a show. Have JB. No. Have Tony Roberts.
Mm-hmm.
Have whoever you think is a beast on stage go up before you. I'm talking about the hottest people, and not even in those arena. Go to a club and do it. And I'm gonna tell you something. That is not easy to follow. That was one of the things I did to be a stronger comic. Like y'all, like niggas, not even challenging themselves like that no more. Like I'm like, put me behind the hottest dude, and guess what? I'm gonna do my best bit first.
I've gone behind Tony Roberts
at the big
before.
Shows. Nah, yeah, but it ain't the same.
Yeah, but
it ain't the same
but
thing,
look,
Jess.
That's not even what I was trying to get into.
I know, don't even
to
argue about it. I'm just saying.
No, I'm not.
But every time,
I'm trying to ask you a question.
I know. Go ahead, ask me the question. But no, don't do the thing we do.
I'll tell you what. No, I'm saying.
Y'all used to argue a lot when y'all used to do the TV show together.
Every now and then, but he wouldn't pay me mind.
But it wasn't like comedy though.
But yeah, it was. Yeah, no, this is when we was on set and stuff like that. But no, like that's what I want to do though. I want to go in a room where nobody knows me because I know like a lot of us comedians that came from social media, we definitely built that and y'all have paved the way for all of us.
You don't have
so
to
we
do
don't
that no
have
more,
to, but,
yeah.
but that's what I would like to do because
it's
that's
impossible
different.
For you now. You host a Breakfast Club. You're
yeah,
famous.
But like, in LA, I before I even got this job, I don't know how it is now, but that's why I stayed out of LA. I never sold great. In LA. So my agents would put me in rooms where they didn't know me and I still would make them laugh, but it's different. I can't sell shows there.
It ain't the same no more. I mean, even the audience is not the same no more because, you know, what's funny, like when I see some of the comics go on the road, I don't even know if it's about being funny no more. Mm. People just like being in the vicinity of people they see online all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it's weird, you know, and you don't do that a lot, which is good. I actually like that you don't, but like the people that do that weird turn around show, like, look who all came to see me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've sold out a bunch of shows. Mm. I don't do that shit. I just do the set, get my standing ovation, get the fuck out of there. I just like, but look who saw me.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah.
And the people just there because they like, oh, I get to see you in person.
I think it's good to do that though. Cause I mean, one thing I hear people say sometimes, bro, they feel like you don't have a base. They think you came out of nowhere.
I don't care what they think. Like you can go on YouTube and just type in Lil Rel and watch every stand-up series from the beginning to now that I've done. From Who Got Jokes to BET Comic View to Last Comic Standing. I really took the long route to this. Mm-hmm. So, like, even when people say that, is actually kind of a compliment. Because that means I'm such a great actor that you don't even have to see that I did all this other shit to get here. Mm-hmm.
Mm. You prefer acting or prefer comedy?
I think it all is entertainment. So when you look up to Eddie Murphy...
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day. Because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights. Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect. Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends. People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
...at all. So I was like, yeah. I always assumed that you had to know how to like do stand-up, act, write. Like, because I looked up to Keenan Ivory Wayans and Robert Townsend, too, and they did everything. So that's why I'm an everything person. I've never thought about this in one category. And you brought up Bill Burr. One of the things I love about Bill Burr never changed his voice. Mm. I saw him do some of the blackest rooms as the whitest man in there and had us in fucking tears. Mm-hmm. And that's why I got so much respect for Bill Burr. He never, because you know, we got some comics, especially white comics, that are kind of appeased to us and you know, whatever that is. Bill Burr, one of the greatest bits I've ever watched somebody do was at Jamie Foxx's Laugh-A-Palooza. Was Bill Burr, and it's right after that Detroit brawl at, between the Pistons and Indiana. Just look that up on YouTube. Bill Burr's bit on it, because it was so fresh, was the funniest shit. Him from the perspective of a white guy, like he was gonna talk stuff for a big black guy. And he did that in front of that audience, and it just happened, and motherfuckers was in tears, you know. So like, shout out to Bill Burr. Man.
What do you think?
It was tripping on Tuesday too, bro.
Tripping on Tuesdays? Yeah, that was a comedy store.
No, that was the name of Duval's thing, Tripping on Tuesday.
It was?
Yep.
Damn, I guess everybody called this shit Tripping on Tuesdays.
I was going to ask you about Jerrod Carmichael, right? You know, he was talking about Dave Chappelle's comedy. And we were saying that, you know, comics shouldn't be talking about other comics' bits or what they like and what they don't like, because 9 times out of 10, I'm sure they have a bit that people don't like. So what's your thoughts on
that? I don't think comics should say something is offensive. Because you can easily offend as a comic, too.
Yeah, I mean, I believe that's why Gerard apologized, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, we can all have our own personal takes on, you know, different things that comics do. I don't comment on nobody's jokes. Now, sometimes I do want to, you know, when we start calling people the GOAT and stuff, or when they call themselves a GOAT, I think it's categories that make that happen. A lot of people still talk shit about Eddie. I think Eddie's the greatest of all time. Mm-hmm. But then you got some people that's done more specials than him. Like, well, he hasn't done enough specials to be mm-hmm. called that. Which is crazy. He don't need to.
Yeah, you got Raw and Delirious. I mean, goddamn.
And he did that under 22. So why would he? He don't have to do a bunch of. He ain't got to.
Yeah.
You got to do a bunch of specials. Yeah. He don't have to. Like, Eddie Murphy has been one of the most famous people we've ever. Like, my kids know who he is based off him being Donkey.
Yeah, yeah.
To me, that's dope where your career has done all these different. He's actually showed us how to be a superstar in comedy. He was mm-hmm. our first real rock star. Mm-hmm. But what I mean, even with that, like Dave, I think me and Gerard talked about this a couple of times. It's just like, you just want to see Dave go a little more personal. I was joking with somebody recently. I'm like, dang, he never did a bit about how he got swole. He just went from skinny to swole. We've never heard Dave Chappelle tell us no reason. Because you want to hear his comedic genius on, nigga, why did you become skinny to swole? Why?
It's not gonna lie, I feel like it happened overnight too. I feel like I was watching one day he was skinny, next thing he was coming up, I'm like, what?
Nah, we haven't seen him for a while. But it's, I guess when I hear people say that, I'm like, his last special, he talked about his wife a lot. And he talked about, it was the whole script club thing. And
yeah, but he's always been, and I love Dave, but he's always been good at like, which is so weird when he, you know, he was at the, you know, when he had decided to say something about Cat talking shit about people. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and I saw him out and we both was talking about it. He's like, man, it's fucked up, man. You know, whatever. But I'm like, well, I mean, you started shit too, you know? Like, the whole dress conversation really happens because of you starting that shit.
Really?
Yeah, I think people forget he's the one that did the interview with everybody. Like, you know something? Chappelle's right.
Oh, that was the Oprah? Was it Oprah?
Yep.
Yep.
Oh, and so that kicked off all that shit. And so, like, I think sometimes we just be reckless with what we say. I just think we have to be careful about it. And then that's why it's so funny. It's like, all these comics say, like, black comics are just so interesting to me, man. Like, and then we don't do it on stage. We, you know, we wait till we do the interviews to have the deep conversations. And it's like, why the fuck you ain't just make a joke about it?
But that's what I like about comedians, though. Because some of the best conversations, you, especially here on Breakfast Club, comedians can be deep. Mm-hmm. And then they can go on stage and be super funny. I think that's what, you know,
yeah, but you
like
need a balance of both. Because, like, I think I think our job is to make things funny. I mean, that's one of the things I love about Chris Rock when he used to make some of the most political things so funny. I mean, you can look at his last special, like, I could always tell when, like, and I love Chris, but that was the first time I was like, dang, he's not comfortable. Like, if he would have opened up with the slap, I would have been like, he's over it. But he didn't.
Yeah.
And then he started venting, and it was like, oh, shit,
well, probably because it was live, so he got to save the slap to hold the audience.
Nah,
you don't think so?
I think if you're smart, you do that shit first, so you can get back to what you know is the essence of your stand-up.
Lil Rel says Chris Rock is not smart. That's gonna be the
I didn't say that. I just say that. I don't Tony and all the niggas waiting on me. Them brothers be waiting for me. It's like 15 Rock brothers. It's like, don't come to the Bronx, Rel. Come to fucking Brooklyn.
But you say he should have led with it.
I think if he was, I could tell he wasn't, which is why I wish he'd have took his time, maybe. Mm-hmm. He wasn't ready necessarily. I think he felt like he was pushed to talk about it. But
I don't think he should have been live.
Me neither.
I like going to see comedians.
I want
to
do it live, though.
Really?
I think I could do it. Yeah, because I mean, most of my specials have been the first show. So
Cat doing it.
Yeah,
it's going to be so interesting.
May 17th.
Yeah, it's going to be very. I don't know. I don't know if I'm, I don't know if I'm going to watch.
You get tired of hearing him call you ugly?
He don't talk about me no more.
What was your problem with Cat? Why are you calling him
ugly? I didn't have a problem with him at all. He had a problem with me out of nowhere. I didn't know. It was just weird. I don't have any problem with Cat Williams. He just had I think he hate dark skinned niggas. Because he always got some weird shit to say about dark comedians. He don't say nothing about the other motherfuckers. He'd be like, the black motherfuckers are ugly. Ugly ass niggas. You'll never kiss a girl, Little Rail, because you're ugly.
Uncle Drew, nigga. They made you.
Yeah, he was saying shit. I was like, what?
You laugh when you hear that though?
Because it's fucking funny.
No, he's hilarious.
But you, Cat Williams, I always tell people, if Kanye sounded like Cat, he would have been president.
Explain.
Because Cat has a good way of, he could deliver bullshit so believable.
Yeah, but Kanye does too.
No, but we all just look at him. We're like, oh, all right, nigga. Cat makes it funny.
Got you.
So it's entertaining. Even if you think it's a fact. Like, everybody took even half the stuff that Cat said in the interview, and a lot of that stuff was lies, but it was still like, damn, that was... But, you know, regular people at home, like, see, I knew it, see? Because you could put in your contract that if you want somebody... You ain't gonna ask for back-end points. You gonna say specifically, I want Rick and Smiley, even though I'm 10th on the call sheet. So, like, get the fuck out of here. Why would you believe that? That's so crazy. People are like, see, I knew it. You can't do that. You cannot negotiate nothing like that. Yeah. You can barely ask for like stuff in your trailer. You think you can ask for it another nigga?
But they don't know, man. You can't. They don't know.
You see what happened? Did they have on a dress? Yes, he did.
When you did the We Grown Now. Now, when you did We Grown Now. What did it mean to be in Chicago? Is that pressure? Because you got to hire people. I'm sure people want you to hire people from Chicago. You know what I'm saying? They know you home. They're going to want money. Like,
nah, nobody. When I shot that, nobody knew I was there shooting it, actually, because I was shooting like three other things at the same time. But then Minhall, she did a great job, director and writer. Mm-hmm. I like the fact that she interviewed Cabrini Green residents. She talked to other housing projects. She did her real research. It took her like 5 years to do that. Mm-hmm. And so that's why, like, because I don't like when I see Chicago movies or any movie that's about a place somebody is from and you don't talk to nobody that's from there and you just start making stuff. You can tell in this movie, even though she's from Chicago also, but she wasn't from that area. Mm-hmm. At least she talked to those people. And it, when you see the movie, like we did a screen in Chicago and all the Chicago people were like, people was in tears watching it. Mm-hmm. You know, because it could be a tearjerker too. It's a beautiful movie. But it's very, it's a love, it's like so, man, she did a good job of making it Chicago. And I love that.
And I want to go back to talking about the Rail Show with you and Jess. Because I remember giving you props because, like, Jess was doing her thing as a stand-up social media, but to give her that opportunity.
It wasn't that we gave it to her. She earned it. She had the best self-tape I think I've ever fucking seen. And she talked to herself. This was so weird about it. It was nobody reading from the other side. Okay, I didn't hear another voice. Mm-hmm. But she was reacting to this ghost voice in a way where me and Gerard was sitting like, nigga, this is brilliant. It was so fucking, it was such a good ass self-tape. We was just almost in shock how good it was. Mm-hmm. And so it was easy for us to be like, oh, yeah, it has to be Jess.
What would you do different about that sitcom? Because it was on for what, a season?
A season? Okay. I don't know, man. I don't think I would do anything differently about the show. I think the way I did things, I was talking about this recently because I could be honest about it. Therapy made me really understand how much I put on myself. I was very stressed out during that show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's because I was trying to make something impossible in a way where you're trying to please all these black people around the country. You want to make everybody happy in Chicago. You want to make it. It was too much.
Like how you said black just now, bro. Well,
I'm glad I said it like that because it's like, it's impossible to do that.
That is fact.
Yeah.
It's impossible. Can't please every fucking body.
Yeah.
You have to do whatever you think is honest about your voice and what that is. Mm-hmm. And I was all in my stand-up. I've never like geared like this is towards this audience. I did whatever I thought was funny. Mm-hmm. I think with that, I was just trying to make sure like, yo, I got to do this for us and our people and this and that. And so, I don't know, it was just some things I could have did better, even just as a leader and things like that. But it was nothing bad. It's just I could do a lot of things better. But I've been doing that. I've been analyzing everything I've done from this point. Like when you become number one on the call sheet, it's just a whole different responsibility. Mm-hmm. Just even the energy you bring on set is big. You know, you just don't think about all this. But I was thrown into the fire.
I'm going to ask, you think you was ready?
I don't think so. I thought I was. Like, yeah. I thought I was ready for real. I thought I was ready for those movies I starred in. But a lot of that stuff, I wasn't. It happened so fast. Mm-hmm. And for me, I like to kind of sit back and be like, okay, this is how I should take those steps in that. But I didn't. It was happening really fast. Mm-hmm. And so, like, now I got a better understanding. That's why, like, I'm excited about directing because I'm like, oh, I could do everything so much differently. And, you know, but I put a lot of pressure on myself. And that was a problem.
I feel like there's no pathway to like do it right, right?
Nah.
Because like you could either start off red hot and then you get all these opportunities and you got to take them, or you take the slow route. But
Well, Charlamagne, it's two things. It's, you know, I think, once again, I hope I don't say it crazy, but being a black man, just being black, like, you just, it's just more pressure you put on yourself.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
You don't want to mess up what you're doing as far as entertainment. Mm-hmm. You don't want to mess, you want to represent your family, right? You want to do right by your ancestors. You just thinking about everything. Mm. You don't want to mess the money up. You want to make sure you create generational wealth. You thinking about this all in, like, when you just got it.
Yeah.
Oh, I got to take care of people. Absolutely. It's just so much, man. And it's like, I've learned, and once again, that's why we should go to therapy. Talking to a therapist made me break everything down a little different. I pace myself different now, because I'm like, oh, I don't have to, like, it's no rush. Relax. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you engaged now too. Congratulations.
Yeah, man. I mean, yeah. I wear my rings. Yes. She wear hers, I wear mine.
And you proposed to her at Renaissance?
Yeah, that was crazy.
Amazing.
Wait, was it planned, or was it how did it happen, for people that don't know?
I feel like I've told this story 15,000 times. But
one more.
It wasn't planned. I actually, this is funny. I bought the ring that Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Called her dad, called the kids. Hit Miss Tina up, because I want to know which song I should propose to. Because I was like, she got all them house songs. I was like, all them songs too fast to do a proposal song.
You can't break my soul.
Yeah.
Like, you can't break my soul.
Love on top, man.
But that's, yeah. But I didn't know she was singing. I thought she was only doing all the Renaissance stuff. And so, you know, Miss Tina told me Love on Top. And then and it was funny, we went to a wedding that Sunday and she didn't know I was proposing. I bought the ring at the mall. This was so last.
The mall?
So we were shopping. Yeah, I went to Tiffany. It was a Tiffany store.
Okay, you made it seem like
damn, you thought I went to the kiosk? You thought
the kiosk? Let me go to Jared. I said, damn.
You know, they be ready to sell it. Hey, buddy. No, I got it at Tiffany's company at the mall. Mm-hmm. But we were shopping for the wedding we was going to. It was KJ Smith and the Blacks wedding.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, we shopping for that. And then I looked at the store like, yeah. And I walked in, I said, let me see your engagement rings. And he showed it to me. I was like, all right, give me that one. He was like, yo, you don't want it? Like, bruh, I gotta go. He was like, that was the fastest sale ever. You don't know how much it is. Like, nah, just get it. And
how much was it?
It's nobody's business.
Jesus Christ.
I just told you my house got broken into. Which is weird. They took the wedding band I just bought.
Oh, damn. My God,
I
no.
just bought the wedding band. This motherfucker found it.
Damn.
I thought I hit it good.
Mm.
I guess I didn't.
Mm-mm.
But yeah, took the wedding band. Now I got to get another one. Mm. I was like, damn, did I get an inch? The receipt was in the bag. He probably just took the bag. I'm so stupid. I really should have took it out the bag at all times. Mm. Like, literally the receipt, everything.
Did you hide it, or was this on your nightstand? Yes.
No, it was hidden in the... First of all, I don't want these niggas back in my house. I'm not going to tell them about it.
They already know the layout. They know the layout.
Well, they took anything you could take.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Can y'all hear me? Hey, don't take shit else. There's nothing else left. If you try to take something else, it's going to be heavy, and I'm going to catch your ass.
They cleaned you out that good?
Not that good, but they took all the jewelry.
You said the cops was there, so.
Damn.
Yeah.
You need a dog, Lil, but go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I do. Oh, you got to see. That's why I need one of them fucking. Yeah. I'm scared of dogs. I don't want to have a dog I'm scared of.
My whole family's scared of my dog but me. But go ahead. To Tiffany's. You went to Tiffany's.
I went to Tiffany's and got the ring. And, you know, we went to the wedding on Sunday. So it was tough for me not to say nothing, because people kept bringing it in, and it's going to happen. I'm like. And then, you know, went to the concert for her birthday, because it was her birthday weekend.
Mm-hmm.
The kids almost messed it up, because they was way too excited about us going to a concert. I'm like, yo, y'all got to chill. And she was like, I wonder why they were so helpful. And yeah, we did it. I almost messed it up, because I went to the bathroom and Love on Top came on while I was peeing.
Damn.
I remember yelling. I was like, ah! They was like, you okay, brother? I'm like, yeah, I'm good.
they
know why I was yelling, right? Like, you okay, brother? Ah! No, it's not that. It was funny. And I ran.
Did you wash your hands?
Yes, I washed my
hands.
He didn't wash his hands. If he yelled and ran out,
first of all,
wash his hands.
I did wash my hands.
Wash his hands.
I promise you I did.
All right.
I'm a hand washer. I actually look at people that don't do it. I judge the fuck out of people that don't wash their hands. That makes me so fucking mad. I was just, ooh, nah. That's a,
yeah. Right, you wash your hands.
Wash my hands. I ran out, and I couldn't find the seat, which was all fucked up. Because, you know, Beyonce be moving people. I'm like, did she make people move when I left?
No.
And so, like, I had to walk back out, retrace my steps. I was like, oh, there I was sitting over there. Found it. It was a cameraman standing there shaking and sweating because he wanted to put us on camera. Jay hooked that up. And, yeah, I proposed. And It was beautiful. And she was ready to go. I was like, no, I bought these fucking tickets. This wasn't free. I actually bought my tickets. Right. And but it was just a beautiful moment. She was so happy. And she did the whole black girl, you know, they walk away, do this thing. You watch any proposal video, they go, and be waving their eyes and shit. And yeah, she said yes, and it was beautiful, and it's fun. We've been, and people keep saying when the date is, but we really been planning the marriage. Mm-hmm. Like the wedding, that's easy. We could do that shit, but like I want to make sure everything's in order by the time we get into that fucking new place and all that.
That's a great perspective. Now, I'm not planning for the wedding. I'm planning for the marriage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oof. Yes.
Expound on that a little bit, bro.
You said what?
Let's expound on that a little bit. What is the preparing for the marriage
look? I mean, like, you know, we talking about you combining finances. Mm-hmm. We have 7 kids between us, so we need to make sure it's the right home we have. Mm-hmm. You know, everything has to be in order, and even just us and communicating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love talking to her every day. Mm-hmm. Like, it's even when I'm on the road, I'm on traveling, we stay on the phone till we fall asleep still. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we talk about everything. You know, sometimes we don't agree on a lot of shit, but we talk it out, and I love that shit. I love how deep our conversation. I just told her the other day, we was having one of our crazy deep-ass conversations. I said, you know something? That's what I fucking love about you. You're so smart. I love having these deep-ass that I can't have with nobody else. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
Lorel.
I'm happy, man. Right.
Absolutely. You look happy. You sound happy.
Yeah. That's right. The movie is out right now. We grown now, and we appreciate you for joining us.
It's in like
y'all. Congratulations too, y'all. This fucking new studio is roomy. It's nice.
Thank you.
I heard you shitted on our green room though.
Because it wasn't. First of all, the first place it took me to was somebody's office. I'm like, this ain't nobody fucking room. This nigga ain't here working. And then y'all took us to a conference room that looked like it was meetings in there until I saw the bottle of hot sauce. I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Like, why people eating meetings around?
A bottle of hot sauce in a conference room?
Yes, there's
hot
sauce all black people around here.
There's a lot of black people around here, bro.
Damn, like, who just pulled out some hot sauce in the middle of a meeting?
And then I heard they took you to the green room, and you said, this it?
No, I did not say that. It was a nigga that working his ass off.
Okay.
I'm in the wrong room.
Okay, that was the wrong room.
Ladies and gentlemen, Little Rel, it's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Wake that ass up.
Early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights. Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect. Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy. Yeah. Right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people,
It gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're going to love season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.